Welcome to Law Light, a quick dose of legal levity as we shine some light on the heartbeat of the legal field. Hi, I'm Melinda Delmonico, the President and CEO of Gibson, Arnold & Associates, and here with me today is Elena McMillan, Director of Talent Acquisition for the Distinguished Legal Advisor Division of Gibson, Arnold & Associates. Today, we're going to explore the topic of distinguished legal advisors, discovering the untapped wisdom of retiring attorneys. So, Elena.
You know, it's my favorite topic. You know, I have a lot to say about the Distinguished Legal Advisor Program, or DLA program, as we describe it or call it. I actually want to hear you explain and tell how you came up with this whole idea to begin with.
Well, many of our clients are in large corporations or smaller corporations, as well as law firms. But I found that a number of lawyers coming to us for their job search were nearing retirement age, and they were contemplating their next step in life. At the same time, I was reading studies about the baby boomers versus the X generation. And the X generation is 50% smaller than the baby boomers. The millennials are as big as the baby boomers. So you have this hourglass of talent in our country right now, maybe in the world, with the generational issue being 50% smaller. And so those are the folks right now that have moved into the leadership roles in our country as the baby boomers are retiring. So what do we do with that? Are there going to be enough workers? These are the kinds of thoughts that are running through my head of how does society function when you have 50% less people and that the wisdom is walking out the door.
Literally walking out the door.
Absolutely. And so I was contemplating, what do we do? And at the same time, we had a downturn in the economy in 2008 where people who thought they were going to retire decided not to retire. Mm. And then they've been retiring since the economy returned. And so the folks that wanted to continue working, they said to me, look, I want to continue working, but I don't want the pressure of a full-time job. I may want flexible hours. I may want it to work for 3 weeks and then go ride my Harley in the desert.
Yeah. Or not be responsible for everyone in the room.
Exactly.
Like just do law work.
Yeah. And that was the birth of the Distinguished Legal Advisor Division.
Nice. Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, you talked about the wisdom walking out the door. I think what I've come to discover is that there are a lot of companies who have a very skilled, bright legal team, but it is not the same as somebody bringing 20 or 30 years of experience.
Yeah, it's a big difference. And so what's happening is, so let's take a corporate law department. They need help, you know, because of the wisdom leaving. You have younger lawyers that are filling the spots, and then you have the managers, the Xers. And if an Xer leaves a company, you have that wisdom walking out the door. And then you have less experienced lawyers who are gaining experience, who are brilliant in their own light, but they just don't have the experience necessary to really understand a business.
Yeah, like the business side of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Not to mention, I don't know, in my experience, lawyers don't typically just retire. Like, it's hard to just turn off that much knowledge and that much experience. And equally important, you have these client companies losing, you know, that level of expertise, and that could be devastating to a company. So, you know, I love that you came up with this idea of kind of two birds, one stone, everybody wins. A client company has access to, you know, tapping the wisdom of somebody with a breadth of experience. And because they're retired and semi-retired, by the way, rock star attorneys, they're not feeding their families with this. So they're not asking for their normal rates. So you have retired partners who might've been billing out at $800 an hour, or you have retired GCs or AGCs who were very hands-on, but who don't need that kind of compensation anymore. They're really just doing this to be a contribution, which is an entirely different model.
Yeah. And so, Elena, I'd love to hear, now that you have been providing and working with these individuals. Can you talk a little bit about the types of backgrounds and practices that you see?
Sure. Well, when I first came in, you know, this was your brainchild and such a great idea. And I want to just say one more thing. I love that rather than standing by and watching an industry that you know so well and love so well, just watching, you know, kind of like an extinction episode of National Geographic, you actually created a solution that works for everybody. And I got to step in and lead the charge on that. And I love it. How it sort of began for me was I walked in and you had a whole lot of interest. Like people were very interested in this concept. And so I would begin to put together these stables of top-notch attorneys in different practice areas based on the inquiries and the job orders that we had. So, and it was all over the place. You know, I walked in and we needed franchise attorneys and IP attorneys and midstream. And I mean, it was really all over the map, but one of the things I found so interesting was how eager the retirees were to play. I would reach out and find these really, you know, in the beginning I was calling people. And so I just started with the cream of the crop. And I would say 95% of them were like, yeah, of course I would do this. And so it's been really amazing. Often retired GCs and AGCs, if they were GCs, they were generally of smaller companies where they were very hands-on and really liked to roll up their sleeves and get in there and do the work. Occasionally, you have GCs from huge companies who, you know, sort of got pushed more into management and really missed getting to do the lawyering. So they're thrilled to get to come back and help out in that capacity. But they are generally, you know, top shelf attorneys looking to make a difference.
Well, and to your point with the quality of the lawyers, there are some fantastic attorneys out there. And what I found with, for example, let's take a corporate law department, they're eager to utilize a distinguished legal advisor because when you think about a law department in a corporation, they have headcount. And corporations will cut their headcount or they'll want to reduce cost. And for a law department, the law departments have gotten very savvy in that they keep a certain number of lawyers on their team because they really don't want to have to let them go when there's a downturn
right.
or some sort of business issue that arises, which inevitably it does, right? So I think that what we find, and when I talk to corporations, for example, this is an expansion of a law department. To be able to provide someone who has a tremendous amount of wisdom, be it corporate law or commercial, maybe they specialized in the oil and gas industry or the technology industry. And as you have seen, there's so many talented lawyers that are boomers that have retired that have those skills and can be excellent individual contributors.
And can just hit the ground running, like very little ramp up time. Having been, you know, in the capacity or some of the roles that they were in, they know exactly what they need to do.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think also for law firms, the Distinguished Legal Advisor program works well. I remember one of the projects that you had was a tax lawyer.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that was great. So a pretty decent sized regional firm did not have a tax department and they were farming out all of their work to another firm. And when they found out about the program, they discovered that they could bring on a tax DLA who could handle the bit of tax work that they had for all of their different offices. And then they didn't have to farm it out. And it went so well, they actually ended up bringing him on full time, despite the fact that he was sort of semi-retired. It was such a good fit that they ended up making him a partner.
So one of the things I've noticed this past couple of years is that probably a quarter of your distinguished legal advisors end up taking full-time jobs. Why is that?
I know, I didn't see it coming. I would say about a quarter of them are an offer is made. And then I would say most of them accept it, but probably 25% don't. But I think what happens is oftentimes companies are not, their go-to is not, let's bring on somebody with 35 years of experience. That is not the mentality of hiring, right? You know, mostly it's like, let's find someone we can mold and shape a little bit. But what they discover when they bring on a distinguished legal advisor for a short-term project or, you know, an ebb and flow situation is that that person is so easy to work with and so effective. And they really know where to focus their time and where they don't need to focus their time. And, you know, they're bringing 30 or 40 years of experience
into this. The business experience.
Yeah. And so I think that part of it is that it just works so much better than anybody thought that it would, that sometimes the client company just goes, oh my gosh, this is such a well-oiled machine. Can we just have this all the time? I think that happens sometimes.
Which is brilliant.
Yeah.
It really is such an efficient way for a law department to expand and to have the talent and get the job done without increasing cost exponentially.
Well, and I think oftentimes they think they can't afford somebody with that much experience. And they probably couldn't in the normal model of hiring people. But when you bring on a DLA who's doing it for less than the cost of an associate at a law firm, and by the way, you know, I want to acknowledge too, we're not really competing with law firms. We are creating a whole new niche for companies who just don't have the budget for outside counsel. So in the past, it's been outside counsel or just drown. And we're offering a new solution with these extraordinary lawyers. I mean, talent that is so far outside of what a company thought, especially a smaller company, what they thought they might be able to actually bring on.
Well, in addition to that, for a law department, bringing on a lawyer who understands business mm-hmm. and who can do contracts all day, a lot of law firms just don't do that. They may have the right contract skills, but then they'll second an associate
yes.
or they'll do something along those lines versus the partner drafting contracts all day
of
long.
Of course.
So the expertise really can help the day-to-day for how long? How long? What's a normal DLA project like?
It's all over the place. I mean, I have DLAs who take interim, you know, kind of mid-level roles for somebody who's out maybe on maternity leave, and they'll go into the office and work 40 hours a week, just kind of holding the space for, you know, for somebody who's out for a period of time. But much of it, maybe even most of it, can be done remotely and is like 0 to 20 hours a week. And it really ebbs and flows. So a company may have a need and then may not have a need again for a few months. And you know, you don't have the luxury of doing that with a temp attorney usually, because a temp attorney needs hours. And the other thing is loyalty. I think temp attorneys are totally loyal until something permanent and better comes along. It's kind of an interim situation for the attorney. Whereas for a DLA, being retired or semi-retired, they're not necessarily looking for full-time work. They're happy to just be there for the ebb and flow. And then the client doesn't lose the continuity of knowledge because that person is available again in 3 months.
So can you describe who is a DLA? Describe just in a nutshell the characteristics of a DLA.
You know, somebody with at least 25 years of experience, because that's sort of, and one thing I want to point out too, is I have some DLAs where being a lawyer was their second career. So I have like somebody who had a first career as an engineer and then became an oil and gas attorney. So they can be really brilliant as well, because they have this whole other layer of experience that they bring. But typically they have 25 plus years experience, retired or semi-retired, somebody who really likes to do the hands-on work. So some of the questions we get from our clients are like, yeah, but you know, would this retired GC really want to do some overflow contracts? Or, you know, would they be willing to be a senior legal analyzer? And the answer is yes, because that's what we vet for. So we make sure that they aren't just willing to do contracts, but they actually enjoy doing that kind of work. And in fact, we like to say that they're willing to do any of it and able to do all of it. So that's come in handy a few times, right? We've had some situations where they brought somebody in to help out with overflow contracts and then had something blow up. And our DLA just was the most qualified person in the room. So they would take them off that project and move them into something else and then just put them back on that project.
Yeah. And I would say in addition to that, quite a few of our DLAs have in-house experience. I know we do.
Oh,
we also have some law firm attorneys, but
sure.
We really focus on getting lawyers that have had the business experience as well.
Definitely. And they really are good at and want to use that knowledge. Like they love the work. They want to use their brains. They want to be a contribution. So really, there's no job that's too small for them, because it gives them the opportunity. It's more exciting than retirement, you know?
So how does someone become a DLA?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, one of the things they can do is certainly contact me. We do have a vetting process. We want to make sure that it's something that, you know, that they want to do. If somebody said that they were only interested in an interim GC position, I would probably not be as inclined to put them in an interim GC position, because I have people who are willing to do anything to help who are also retired GCs. So those are the ones that I think are the most effective. But basically, they would just contact us and we'd go through the vetting process. And if they felt like it was something that they could really get behind and they wanted to do, then I would put them on the list and call them as soon as we had something appropriate. Yeah.
Okay. And I guess finally, if a corporation or a law firm wanted to bring on a distinguished legal advisor, what would you suggest for that process?
Well, certainly contacting us and letting us find somebody who's a great fit for them would be the best, you know, a good way to fast track, because we've already done all the vetting. And one of the things too, and why I think this is a better solution for short and long-term support, is that these, regardless of how impressive their resumes are, they don't want your job. Like they are only there to make a company look better. So if a client needed some support, why not bring somebody on who's overqualified but also enjoys getting in there and doing the gritty work too? Because you can use them for so many different things. They just want to be a contribution. And so we can help them find that person.
Excellent. And I also think that the companies ought to understand as well that the vetting process is very thorough. Just like we would do a search for a full-time employee, we use the same techniques as we do for our contract lawyers and our distinguished legal advisors.
Definitely. And you're still matching culture and personality and all of those things as well.
Excellent. So Elena, thank you so much for today. I really appreciate your thoughtful approach and your brilliance of running the Distinguished Legal Advisor Program.
Well, thank you. I love it.
A brand new day, and we'll be making history. Are you with me? Won't you stay? We have come so far. This is who we are, and like the rising sun, we have just begun to play our part. This is the time we form the chorus. Lift your voice for those before us. We can rely on one another. Feel the pride, let's show our colors. We are.